time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
Hey, welcome aboard. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN. We are the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard. We will talk to the great Michael Lombardi coming up in about 5 minutes. Saturday was, the whole weekend, again, was so much fun. So many different sporting events going on. We almost cashed an 80-1 in the golf tournament out here.
Oh!
As Indy Jeff gave us Russell Henley.
Three-shot lead going into Sunday. 80-1. I had it.
Yep, same here.
Indy Jeff is so good. But still, I mean, where's this email? Brian, even if Henley doesn't win, that pick at 80-1 is incredible. At Bet Rivers, I bet Henley top 10, 5-1, which Jeff also gave out. Top 20, plus 225. Top 30, even money. I also took him late as a third-round leader at plus 140 when Schauffele was having issues. But
very nice.
He didn't get it done, but he still finished top 5. And then,
he did.
Well, Kokrek was a big
He was also 80-1.
Price. Yeah.
Yep.
Good action out here.
So we had that going on. We had a UFC event. We had Major League Baseball. And, you know, with no late-night football, really, in college on Saturday night, we did have that, you know, it was a pretty big boxing match. And, by the way, that was live on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they had a pretty decent viewing audience for that match. And that, to me, again, it's always been the problem, and everybody knows this, right, with this sport. And I'll be quite honest with people. I mean, unless we know the results before the fight starts, like a McGregor versus Mayweather fight, I don't go too heavy in boxing matches. But in play, I bet Lopez 3-1 and 6-1 by decision. And then as it's getting a little bit squirrely, ooh, and you see Ward's scorecard, he's like, this is close. And he had it 95-95 at one point. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see what the draw is right now with the in play. And I saw 18-1. I'm like, I'm going to put a little bit on 18-1 just in case, because you never know. Well, thank goodness the judges actually gave the right fighter the win in that match. But we had a 119-109 card. That is completely egregious, Paulie.
Why are you surprised?
Well,
it happens all the time in the UFC. And I'll talk to Derek Stevens when he comes in. The first UFC card back after the pandemic, we had a 30-27 both ways. One of the biggest bet of my life was Mayweather-Canelo. I'm watching it. Dan Rafael has it a shutout for Mayweather. Let's go to the scorecards. Draw. Right off the bat.
That 114, 114.
It happens all the time in boxing and in the UFC.
Yep.
It's absurd. I don't know what fight you're watching. It's
a
travesty.
There was a UFC fight early on during the restart after the pandemic. It was in Jacksonville, I believe. I want to say it was Barbosa versus Dan Ige. I think I have that.
There was another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barbosa is controlling him to the point of where he is minus $20 for pretty much the entire third round. That's the betting market. Barbosa's minus $20, and then it just goes off because he was too high. The decision went to Ige, and you're like, wait a second here. I had Ige in that fight, and I had no business cashing that ticket. But you can't possibly watch that fight and say to yourself, as an experienced judge, by the way, who does this over and over and over again, yeah, you know what, I gave one round to Loma. Like, what happened in 9, 10, and 11? What happened? Now, I don't think that you can make the case. I mean, people wanted to say that, you know, they could actually see Ward, because Ward had it a draw at 114-114. I thought it was 116-112. I would buy 117-111. But Loma did nothing for the first six rounds. Nothing. But that's what you get with that sport.
That's
welcome
right.
Minutes. Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. We will get to Michael Lombardi coming up here in a second, but we're putting... we're giving our discussion here on the boxing match from Saturday night, and that's one of the reasons why I can't get too heavily involved with that sport, because you never know what judges are going to do.
Well, Dana White, that's what Dana White always says. Don't let it go to the scorecards.
Yep.
Don't trust. Finish the guy. Dana White knows, and he has nothing to do with it. That's the commission. He doesn't have a say who the judges are.
Of course.
Dana White's excellent on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, stop complaining. Finish the guy.
Oh, he calls out the judges.
Oh, he absolutely does.
Bob Arum said... Actually, after the fight, he warned his fighters in Top Rank, be very careful. I would stay away from getting involved with matches where she's the judge. And look at this tweet,
yep,
by the way.
Yep, okay.
This is on Saturday at another card, I think, over in the UK. Teddy Atlas tweeted this out. Look at this.
Oh, no.
Middle of the fight, one of the judges caught texting on his phone. It's a three-minute round.
Oh, an abomination.
I mean, that's...
No.
Yeah.
It's like a UFC octagon girl. They're on their
I know.
They're always
taking
on their
selfies.
Yeah, you can always go back and look, and these UFC girls are always on their phones texting or doing something.
Yep.
Or on Twitter. It's like, but this is a judge. All those girls are just walking around. Round two, here we go. And eye candy.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Michael Lombardi joins the program now. You can get the Lombardi line every day here on VSiN. It's noon Eastern, 9 Pacific here Monday through Friday.
The man.
Michael, good morning. I want to begin with this. Forget about how bad the Jets are going to be this year. We all know how bad they are, or if they're going to go in 16, whatever else could happen to this team. But moving forward, like, how long is this rebuild because they are just that bad?
You know, I mean, these rebuilds usually don't take as long if you get a great quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, if this, you know, as I've said, I wrote this, and I've said this on the Lombardi line. I wrote it for The Athletic. I've said it on my podcast. Man, I don't know why the urgency to fire Adam Gase. He's doing exactly what you want him to do. I mean, actually, when it's all over and he's maybe 1-15, you should have a parade for him down Bluefield Avenue in New Jersey. I mean, he's doing exactly what you want him to do. He's going to get you Trevor Lawrence. Now, how can you get mad at him for that?
The back and forth with Williams. I mean, we know your resume is all the time you spent in the NFL. If I put you in charge, what would you do? Take Lawrence as easy.
I mean,
but what else would you do?
Well, I mean, you know, at least I got a left tackle. I got Becton, who didn't play yesterday, but I got a left tackle. I'm going to have a ton of cap room. I would just liquidate. I would sell off every asset I could. I would just try to get rid of any player. They did already last night. They made a trade. They traded Steve McClendon, a defensive tackle, to the Bucks for basically nothing. They swapped sixes and sevens. And so, you know, I think I would liquidate. I think you're going to see that, because what's going to happen next offseason is there is going to be two markets. There's going to be a market of players that have to get cut because teams can't get below the cap because of COVID. So there's going to be teams like Philadelphia, who are already $50 million over the cap. The Falcons, who are a disaster on their cap going into next year. The Rams, they're just going to have to liquidate a bunch of players. And you can be in position to make your team much better quickly. And if you get Lawrence, you have a left tackle, you rebuild the defense, you get rid of Greg Williams, you stop the infighting, because ultimately you can't have subversiveness from within. You can't have this. This is why, you know, really the Jets, this is all on the Jets owner, because Chris Johnson demanded, he allowed Mike McKagan. Think about this now. Think how dumb this is. He allowed Mike McKagan to pick the next coach. Matt Rhule would have been the next coach, although Matt Rhule wasn't going to take Greg Williams as his coordinator. Mm. So they take Adam Gase. And then in May of that year, they fire Mike McKagan. Think about that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that. They fire. I mean, it's just, if you want to learn how not to run a business, just be a Jet fan.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Okay, so we explained like the whole theory. I think the theory that we kind of understand regarding Romeo Crennel's decision yesterday. Not everybody's going to agree with it. I totally understand that. But what did you think of him? They score a touchdown to go up 36-29, final minutes of the game. And instead of kicking, you know, like most traditional coaches would do, they're going to kick the extra point to make it an 8-point game. He says, let's go for two because we get it. The game's over with. Well, they didn't, and they lost. What do you think of that decision?
I would have kicked it. I mean, anytime I can go up by eight, and now it's going to require you go all the way down the field on me, and then convert a 2-point play and then beat me in overtime. That's a 3-prong event that has to happen. Whereas if I just kick it, now all of a sudden I've reduced it to 2 prongs. You kick the extra point, you make it, right? And so therefore now we're in overtime and all of a sudden I don't get the ball back in overtime, which is what happened. Now, all the people that said it was a good decision, they see Brandon Cooks wide open in the end zone on the play and the ball got tipped. So, you know, there's all that. I don't know what's going on in the NFL. That we have gone way too far on this analytics. I mean, Ron Riverboat, you don't learn how to win from gambling to make the game come down to one play. Like you're playing the New York Football Giants. Daniel Jones has thrown for 100 yards in the game. All right. The only reason they're even in the game is because you've turned it over and that you didn't stop Daniel Jones from scrambling out of the pocket. He gained over 100 yards rushing. He actually almost gained more yards rushing than he did passing.
Oh man.
So when you watch the game, you say, kick the extra point. We'll beat these guys in overtime. We're the better team. But when you make it down to one play, you give them the chance to win the game. Why would you do that? Like, why is this being hailed as a great decision? I don't understand it. Like, I get I'm old school. You know, I know I'm from the old school. But I'm not old school in the sense that I want the players to have the right to be able. The job of a head coach is to avoid losing. That's his number one job. avoid losing. And when you make it down to one play, you're basically saying, no big deal. Watch the game. Who's in control? Who's in the lead? That Washington game, it's 13-13. Washington's driving the ball down. Mm-hmm. Kyle Allen fumbles. They pick it up. They make it 20-13. It's the only way they're going to score. Yep. You know, the guru, the clapper, there's no rule in that guru. We know this, right? So there's no chance he's going to score any points, right? And so, you know, okay, then you come right back down the field and you score it again. Why not take it an extra quarter? Like, why is this being hailed as a brilliant decision? I have no idea. Peterson does the same thing. I can't figure out Peterson. There's five Doug Petersons walking around. He does things every week that are different. One week he goes for it on the second, you know, then he tries a quarterback sneak, then he doesn't go for it. I'm confused all the time.
Yeah, great rant. Great. I'll give you another one. And Michaels was like you Sunday night about throw some of this stuff in the garbage. How about if it's late in the game, like the Rams, and it's on 9? Do you go for 2 to make it 7 because you want to know what you need? Or do you wait to the last possible second to go for 2 if you're down 8? Go ahead.
I'm always one of those to wait for the last possible second. Okay. Because if I have – how many 2-point plays do I have that really work? If I use my best one and it doesn't work, now I'm on my second best one. Do I call my second best one first when I need it, or do I call my best one? See, nobody talks about what's the play call. Everybody thinks you've got this list of 2-point plays that you're just going to come out there and run. The Eagles couldn't even get the play in. The Eagles were on their second 2-point play, and it took them forever to get it in. Wentz doesn't get the play in until about 8 seconds. Watch the game. He doesn't get the play in. He can't even get the motion set. By the time the ball snapped, it would have been a delay of the game if he doesn't take the snap. He gets the ball, and of course he's got two guys in the backfield before he even knows the game's over. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody really ever talks about how many 2-point plays you have going in. Nobody talks about the validity of the 2-point plays. Everybody just thinks we've got 1,000 of them. They think it's Denny's. We got everything. Whatever you want on the menu, we got it.
Yep. You know, I've said for a long time that they should assign like a younger coach on the staff to simply create creative 2-point plays and then run them by the coaching staff to see if they like them or not. I don't mind that idea whatsoever. What'd you make of I'll tell you, that Buccaneers defense, I mean, we always talk about great against the run. Overall yesterday, I mean, they were playing with a chip on their shoulder. I called them heat-seeking missiles earlier. They were going after everybody, and they were awesome in that game against the Packers.
I mean, Carlton Davis wasn't sure he was going to play the corner, you know, and then the other corner, Dean, comes in there and plays. Both kids from Auburn, both kids long, athletic, and give Todd Bowles credit. I mean, here's a guy, he gets fired at the Jets. Once again, Jets incompetence, because they keep McKagan over him. Like, Todd Bowles is a really good coach, and he could be a really good head coach if he has the right general manager. He needs a good GM to work with him. He had a guy that he didn't even know in McKagan. They're from different backgrounds. I think the Bucs are really good. I mean, I had them in the game. I thought they were going to win it. I thought the heat and humidity was going to affect some of those northern teams down there in Florida. Obviously, it didn't affect Detroit because Jacksonville's not very good. But it did affect the Jets. You know, they couldn't convert a third down the entire day. And, of course, Green Bay was – I mean, it's 10-0, and the next thing you know, it's 38-10, yeah. And you're wondering what the hell happened. And it's really because of their defense was so good. And the way that they pushed around the Packer offensive line. Look, I think the misnomer about the Packers, and I said this on the Lombardi line, is their defense isn't as good as people think it is. They give up – they were 22nd in yards per attempt going in the game. You can throw a – the problem has been you can't – they've never been able to play from behind. You can't get ahead of them because Rodgers has been so good until yesterday.
Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Veasan, the Sports Betting Network. The great Michael Lombardi, our guest. Listen to Lombardi Line. He's with us every Monday. Now, Belichick afterwards just said, we haven't had enough time together. Do you think they'll be able to straighten this out and he can get things turned around in New England and he'll make the playoffs?
I mean, in all due respect to Allen Iverson, he may not need practice, but man, the Patriots need practice. I mean, yeah. They looked like it yesterday. Cam needs practice. He looked horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to call a spade, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they need practice. They didn't practice. They looked really lethargic. The offensive line, you know, they don't have David Andrews. They lose Shaq Mason to the COVID list. And all of a sudden, then, the right tackle, Luminor, he gets hurt. So now they're down 3 offensive linemen. No excuses. But there's really no timing or no rhythm with their football team is. And they need to practice. I mean, football especially is a game to practice. Now, the Titans, for some reason, I don't know how they do it. I think this Arthur Smith's a really good play caller. But they went out there and executed without practice. So everybody's thinking, well, you really don't. But I think the Patriots put a stop to that notion, you don't need practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is something, by the way, on the Titans going 42-0 back-to-back weeks, all things considered.
It's remarkable. I mean, they really, they're hard to play. I think the guy does a great job. And watch their games. They don't have receivers open. They have receivers wide open. I mean, and they know who they are, Mitch. They really do. They know who they are. They're going to run the ball, even though this was the first game all year that Henry kind of came out of it. But they have these play-action passes. They're all different each week. They're a problem. They know their offensive line can't pass protect in drop-back game, but they can in a play-action game. And they really execute it really well. My hat's off to them. I think they've done a great job. I think Arthur Smith, you know, everybody thinks he's got the job because his dad's Fred Smith, but I think he's earned the job. I think he's one of the best young coaches in football.
Who do you like tonight?
You know, I just have a hard time thinking, you know, when you watch the Bills, especially as beat up as they are, Levi Wallace won't play, maybe White will play. But, you know, when you go into the game against the Kansas City Chiefs with really one corner, I mean, they're going to find Josh Norman. Like, where's Josh Norman? I mean, you just tell me where Josh Norman is and we're going after him. I think it's going to be a real hard game for them. I think, you know, the Chiefs got to play better defensively. I like the Chiefs, and I love Dallas tonight. I know it seems like it, but I think Dallas – when you watch Arizona play against Carolina or you watch Arizona play against Detroit, if you handle Kyler Murray the right way, if you rush him the right way and force him to have to throw the ball outside the numbers for a living because he can't see inside, this is the misnomer with these short quarterbacks. Watch the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game. Watch what Pittsburgh did to Baker. Yeah. He can't see. Yep. He can't see. And when you rush these little guys inside, you make a small guy play smaller. So I like Dallas and I like Kansas City tonight.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the time, as always. Great talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome job. Okay, so I actually see what Romeo was doing with the, you know, four or five things that have to happen to go against you. But we've known Alan Boston for 20 years. Alan Boston used to always say, I need your best play. He used to always rip Coach K. You have all this talent. You can't draw something up with the game on the line over and over.
Yep.
Okay, so this is my thing. What are you doing in practice all the time? Because Michael said how many – you can't come up with a two-point play? I don't think it shouldn't be that hard. You don't have a great play. All these great offensive minds and dynamite quarterbacks we have, you don't have a two-point play?
I'm telling you.
You don't have a couple of them?
If you had somebody, I don't care who it is, a 25-year-old video coordinator, assistant, whatever, draw plays on a napkin one day. Just go away for 4 hours and just think of something that we're not seeing, that we don't have right now. Come on, you want to be a full-time coach sometime down the line, prove it to me right now. Like, that absolutely exists. Somebody out there is a brilliant mind that can be like, I have 15 plays right now, top of my head, that the defense will have no idea what's coming. Whatever. Like, that's possible.
All right.
But we don't have it yet.
Yeah, I know.
Like, good point on the Eagles. What play are we going to run? You might want that, just in case. I mean, to be ready in a spot like that.
It worked. Cobb's wide open.
Yeah.
It just got deflected. I know. Then again, I don't want to hear it. You gave up 600 yards and 42 points. Stop something.
Yeah.
Don't put me in that position. Well, of course he doesn't have confidence in his defense. They give up 600 yards.
Yeah.
You wanted to end the game right then and there.
Boy, oh boy.
Now, the other thing, and Collins, I don't have a problem with that either. We saw Dallas did it. McCarthy, they ripped McCarthy, but they came back to win the game. I could see that thought process too. I want to know what I need. I go for two. I get it. I'm going to need a two-point conversion anyways. What if I kick the extra point like I did last night? I'm down eight. I get the ball back. I score. I go for two. I don't get it. The game's over. I don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
At least if I get a stop, I go back. I kick a quick field goal. Try to get an onside kick. I don't know. But that's I see that the thought process and the thinking of I want to know what I need.
Yep.
Because I need a two-point conversion at some point anyways.
And again, I will say this. I totally understand because we've talked about this for a long, long time, the idea of going for two when you take a 7-point lead. That doesn't happen very often where a team goes up. When they score the touchdown, they go up by seven. So when you do it, if you go for two, the idea is there. If you get it, the game is absolutely over with. And if you don't, well, then fine. Yeah. If they score a touchdown, they're not going to go for two anyway.
Well, Watson from the two or that hideous defense, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You're going to go for it over and over again from your own 30? Fourth and one, but you can't try a two-point conversion?
Yeah. Yep. They couldn't stop anybody yesterday.
No.
That actually goes for both teams.
They got lucky.
Yeah.
In terms of they got a stop, they fumbled, and then for some reason, the bozo offensive lineman for the Titans tries to run with the ball.
I couldn't
and fumbles it.
He tried to pick it up.
Yes.
From the Indeed.com studio at South Point Casino. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. We'll get into the World Series coming up next and some ridiculously good numbers on Charlie Morton. Ready for a faster way to win? When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code VSIN250 to get a 100% deposit match up to $250. Must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER if you're in New Jersey and Illinois, 1-800-9-WITH-IT if you're in Indiana, and 1-800-BETS-OFF if you're in Iowa. And I'm looking at PointsBet right now, Paulie, with their World Series price. They have the Dodgers minus $2 and the Rays plus 160. I'm actually seeing the Rays as high as plus 175 out here in Las Vegas, if you like that side.
Well, we're a Dodger town, so.
Of course.
Avalanche or Dodger money.
It's going to be a little bit different here, you would expect, than, you know, books, Midwest, East Coast, that kind of thing.
Well, it's not Belichick either. You know, everything's been no days off, no days off. They actually get a couple days off here after game two, and I think it's game five. So, starts tomorrow, sexy matchup, and here it is. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but can Kershaw win a couple games? They just won the series and got nothing out of Kershaw. Now, think about that.
He went five innings, gave up four runs.
Yeah.
They lost the game.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. I know there was a lot of people after they were down 3-1 saying, this is why you got to change things and at least look at a new manager, because there were some weird comments about, well, you know, we come out and we give them the first couple games. It was weird, but some comments about, well, now we wake up. You can't spot teams a 2-0 lead in the LCS.
I think they were talking about how, yeah, we've been here so many times. It's like, yeah, it's not as important as it, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to get up for the games,
yeah,
kind of
I mean,
thing.
I saw those comments. I'm like, what? Wait a second.
Well, it was
here.
The same stuff with Bobby Cox in Atlanta. There was no sense of urgency. It's like, well, okay, well, we lose game one. We'll be back. We'll bounce back. Guys, you do this every year.
You kind of need to win one of these times.
Yeah.
Let me give you this on Charlie Morton after he did it again
in
game
seven. I
can't
his numbers.
ESPN Stats and Info, the longest outing by a Rays pitcher this season is seven innings multiple times. Charlie Morton leaves in line to become the first pitcher in Major League Baseball postseason history to earn the win in three career game sevens, and he got it. How about that? I mean, that's a bar bet. File that one away. Nobody's going to know that as a trivia answer. Charlie Morton, only guy now postseason history to have a win in three career game sevens. And one more.
They needed that start.
Oh, yeah. At MLB Stats, Charlie Morton joins John Smoltz from 1991 as the only pitchers ever with multiple career starts of five-plus scoreless in a Game 7. That's it. That's the list.
Maddie Vaskirjian, we love you. I got to get Smoltz. I want to talk to Smoltz because he was a great big-game pitcher. He was a stud starter, became a closer, and he's a great golfer.
He's one of my favorite pitchers of all time.
Yeah.
What he did.
I think he's a pretty good announcer. Also,
No, I know people have a problem with him as an announcer. Fine. I think he's really good, but.
He can speak to the issues with the Dodgers because he was on those Braves teams and maybe complacency. And I think he's had like 12 hole-in-ones, as he told me.
Sure. But I loved his career as a pitcher because he was so good as a starter for so long. Then he got injured, and he's like, okay, let me be the closer. And he was like the best closer in baseball for 3 or 4 years. Couldn't touch the guy. He was Eckersley.
Yeah.
So, and one more, by the way. Got to chime in with this. Magic Johnson for the win.
For the win? What does he have? What did I miss?
You haven't seen this one yet?
No. What'd he do?
Will Smith's 3-run homer was the key hit in the game. And Corey Seager added two home runs in the Dodgers 7-3 win over the Braves.
Oh, my God. He can't be running his account. It's got, what is it? It's the Associated Press. He's the recap. That's what he is.
Yeah, he's a headline for the AP.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's a headline writer. I mean, what was the tweet a couple weeks ago? If Anthony Davis, LeBron play well, the Lakers will win. Something like that.
If Davis and LeBron play their games and Caruso, Dwight Howard, and Kuzma step up and play well, the Lakers are going to be tough to beat. Whatever.
What is that? How does he tweet that? What is he doing? Well, he's this close. He's this close to tweeting whoever scores the most points is going to win. I mean, he's that close. That's coming next. Oh, magic. Oh.
I kind of like it.
Boy, his legacy took a hit. They got him out of there and won the title.
No, it's true.
He goes, shame on ESPN. They let him come on ESPN and just bash Pelinka and do this. And guess what? Yeah. Guess who was the problem?
Yeah.
Oh, Rob doesn't know what he's doing. Rob, okay, well, they got you out of there. Look what happened.
Good point. Good point. But in terms of the World Series, I like the Rays plus 175.
Yeah. I'd give them the bullpen edge.
It
worked out in a couple of games for the Dodgers, but in some of the other games it didn't. But you have to love that Tampa, that back of that bullpen. Now they're not hitting. That would concern eight of the last nine under.
Yep.
They're struggling offensively.
That's true. All right, up next, we'll recap the weekend with the good, the bad, and the ugly here on Follow the Money.
Need help with their football picks, huh? VSiN, the sports betting network, is providing all access to everything we offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through the Super Bowl, you'll get the weekly digital betting guides, power ratings, scores, and consensus picks for the games each week, access to our 24/7 live video stream, and the most important part, daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest, plus the bowl betting guides. VSiN.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get the Chuck Edel picks.
Yeah, no kidding. 6-1 on Friday?
Everything he talked about that he bet early and then what he gave out, right. Yes, and the one loser was a tough beat.
All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. This is from a buddy of mine here in town, the only Titans fan that I know, but also he's good on boxing. He's the guy who actually texted me before the fight, and he said, Lopez is live tonight. I said, really? Okay, interesting.
Wow.
So he tweeted this out, too, after one of the matches prior to that. That Berlanga guy, he's now 15-0 if you watch the fights on Saturday night on ESPN. 15-0, he's never been to the second round. He's like, you want to file this kid's name away? And I had people reach out to me after I retweeted that, and they said, I'm begging sportsbooks to put up, will this guy ever be a champion? So if any sportsbook wants to get creative,
all right,
people might bet that for you. You have to make it a minus money, I'm guessing, a huge favorite. But his hands of stone, incredible job by him. I didn't know where to put this one. It's maybe a little bit of good, a little bit of ugly, but that Kentucky keeps winning like this.
A couple pick sixes, yeah.
Back-to-back drives with a pick six against Tennessee. Terry Wilson threw for 101 yards. He was their leading rusher with 32, and they won 34-7. So you got to put Tennessee in the ugly and the Kentucky in the good. You brought up North Texas earlier in that game to go over again, 52-35. They had 860 yards of offense. Now, file this one away as well. They're 4-1 of the over. Their score so far on the year, 57-31, 65-35, 41-31, 49-21, and 52-35. That's nuts. If you have a Mac Jones Heisman ticket in your pocket, like I do, at 25-1. He's down to plus 350 right now, DraftKings. He's only behind Trevor Lawrence. You have to love how aggressive he is in this offense. He's got amazing wide receivers. But now back-to-back-to-back games, 417 yards and four touchdowns against Georgia, 435 and four scores against A&M, and 417 and two scores versus Ole Miss. I like you. I think Zach Wilson has to be in the mix.
Better be.
With his numbers.
Has to be. Yeah, we got a couple people said he's 20-1 at some spots.
Jones right now, think about this. He is first in yards per attempt at 13.2. And he's first overall in the country with a rating of 220.1. A lot of good from the NFL. Tampa Bay's defensive performance was sensational. The Packers never threatened again after leading 10-0. And Derrick Henry's overall game, 212 on the ground, two touchdowns, including that 94-yarder. And Tannehill, can you slow down one part of the game, possibly, Houston? Tannehill had 364 and four scores. The bad. I know I'm going to be in the minority on this one, but 34 first downs, 49 points, 800 yards of offense. I get it. You're down at the time, 50-49 with 24 seconds, and it's fourth and two. But I could not believe Central Florida kicked a field goal or tried to, a 40-yarder. And people are going to say, Mitch, it's fourth down, 24 seconds left. Of course, it's a field goal to win the game. I live and breathe. Hear me out on this, college kickers. You have 800 yards of offense, and Gabriel just missed a dude for the first down in the prior play. I say you go for it every single time. And disappointed in Matt Rhule and Teddy Bridgewater yesterday. I said that a little bit earlier in the program as well. The Packers' drives after leading 10-0. Pick six, INT. Three and out, Rodgers sacked to end the half, three and out, punt, three and out, punt, three and out. That is something else. And the Jets lost 24-0 at Miami. They ended with 263 yards on 69 plays, most of it late. They were 2 of 17 on third downs, catching double digits at home to Buffalo this week. They traveled to the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. That number was 20.5 about 10 days ago. Who knows? Could go higher. And again, their first nine drives, they had seven punts. 6-3 and outs, I believe, in one INT. There you go. My good, bad, and ugly.
Kentucky first win at Tennessee since 1984. We have three late games now back on Saturday coming up with the Mountain West and other conferences coming back. Matt Ryan, 371 and four touchdowns. Played well, finally, for Atlanta. Have to give it up to him. Zach Wilson, BYU's 5-0, 400 yards and four touchdowns. And they covered against Houston. The bad, as I've said for 3 years on this show, repeat the lie over and over again, people start to believe it. Hell, you even start to believe it. Now, I was watching the game Saturday. I'm like, what's that 11 by A&M? They jumped 10 spots in the polls because they beat Florida at home on a last-second field goal. Oh, Florida can't stop anybody. You see what I'm getting?
And then, did they really? I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, they dropped. They moved up 10 spots in the polls because they beat Florida at home by 3 on a last-second field goal. Again, Georgia loses by 17. They drop one spot in the polls. This stuff's been going on for years. But then again, it comes back to the week-in, week-out grind and all this other crap. But who are these good teams you're talking about? You got the tweet? Look at this. Who's got the worst defense in college football? The SEC. First place, the Big 12. But, I mean, watch how they – oh, the quarterback plays so good. Oh, these offenses. Watch how they spin this garbage now.
Well, it's funny how it flipped, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because for years, it was always about the best defense in the country – and no good offenses could ever do anything against them. And now all of a sudden, oh, yeah, it's not the defense's fault. It's such good quarterback play. Yeah.
Miss State again, 7 points on offense. He had to take out the pick six. I don't know what's going on there since it just shows how bad LSU is. The ugly Georgia Tech down 52-7 at home at halftime of a conference game. Lawrence had 391 and five scores. Yep. There was a wide receiver. What do you have, 6 for 161? Jacksonville, 1-5. They've allowed at least 30 points 5 games in a row. And the Texans, again, 42 points, 600 yards. Henry gashes them for 200 yards. Tannehill has 4 touchdowns. Asked after the game, Cronell going for 2, the right call. J.J. Watt, that's above my pay grade. I don't know. How about you stop somebody? You gave up 600 yards. Yeah, it's the right call because I need one stop out of you and you can't get it. Mm. How do you not back your coach there? You just threw O'Brien under the bus and got him fired.
Sure.
And now you have a chance to go with this guy.
By the way, Cornell is a defensive coach.
Well, he knows he can't. They couldn't stop him.
Hey, it's not like 600 yards of offense happens every single day in the NFL. Like, that's tough to accomplish for NFL teams. College, forget about it. It happens 10 times a week. I had no answer for anybody. There are some really bad defenses in the NFL. I'm not even saying bad teams. I'm talking about just bad defenses.
Yeah.
The offense is, to this point, 6 games in, completely ahead of the defense.
Yeah, the Lions could have scored 50. They just stopped themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Jacksonville. Ooh. Suddenly, I'm cooking. I'm cooking with that win total under. I mean, they're going to win 5 games, Jacksonville?
Yeah. Great news for our marquee network viewers. Starting tonight, Rush Hour with Danny Burke will be live from Bet Rivers Sportsbook in suburban Chicago from 6 until 7 Central Time. Make sure you tune in to Rush Hour with Danny Burke every weeknight, 6 p.m. Central on Marquee Network. We'll run down the opening lines for Week 7 in the NFL coming up next.
Big Ten is back. Get ready for all the big games with Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Take advantage of the big return special. Make your first deposit of $50 and get $100 in free bets in exchange. If you're already a member, you can enjoy all their daily special bets exclusively on BetRivers.com. As always, great customer service and only one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. First-time depositors and new users only. Playable in New Jersey as play Sugar House. Here was the Magic Johnson tweet going back to September. I'm so excited for Denver-Utah Game 7 and to see Murray versus Mitchell. For the Nuggets to win, Jokic, Harris, Millsap, Porter have to step up. For Utah to win, it's on Conley, Clarkson, Ingles, or Gobert to step up. You can just name the whole team.
Yeah,
I mean, that's something else, too.
I think that's the, that's 1A for him, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one where everybody's like, okay, now this is turning into, a parody account. Okay. Thanks for the insight. Good stuff.
I don't know why he wasn't so good on television. What happened? Remember the Magic Show?
Good guy to host a talk show.
Remember Howard Stern went on air and just had to get passing gas? He ripped the show every day that Magic's like, come on the air. Because it's so bad. It's just, at least we'll get ratings before we get canceled.
Sure.
And how
it lasted for like 10 days or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was, Jackie. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. Mm.
All right, here we go with your opening numbers, Week 7, National Football League. Thursday night, we get a doozy, folks. Philadelphia takes on the Giants. This is in Philly. And the Eagles opened up 6.5-point favorites after that crazy game yesterday against the Ravens, blown out the entire time. They come back to make it close. They lose by 2. Giants hang on by a thread to beat the football team. This number is now down to 6 on Thursday night.
Michael's right. It's a deadly combo here of the Clapper and Jones. Jones can't play. That is a peewee throw. The interception in the end zone. It's not going away. He's a turnover machine. That's against Washington. They couldn't move the ball. It's pathetic.
You know, the country mocked Jameis Winston for a lot of years. Other quarterbacks kind of get a pass when they make silly throws. Now, Winston was in the league. He's been in the league, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, already. But if that continues, that kind of crap, come on.
This is a good game here, too. Cleveland 3.5 on the road.
Yeah,
I don't know what the Bengals were up 21-0 against the Colts.
Yep. I don't know how they lost that game. It happened so fast.
They just can't win a road game, though, either.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. They have one 17-1 run, whatever, on the road. So, yeah, they were up 21-0. They're moving the ball, and a nice comeback by Rivers and the Colts. But that was, remember, they got in through the back door in the first meeting.
Sure.
In a high-scoring game.
So. This is a rematch of that Thursday night game that was 35-30. That was a good game. Now, this time it's in Cincinnati, and the Browns are laying 3.5. That was a complete dismantling yesterday by the Steelers. And they have had their number for decades now. I can't believe the number was 3 or 3.5.
Where is Mayfield throwing that ball? How does he not see the guy with the pick six?
On the pick six?
Oh, he threw it right to him.
Yep.
He was terrible. I love it. I mean, they go 4th-and-1 at their own 25. They go for it, down 24-7, stuffed. That was all she wrote.
Oh, another one. How good is the rookie class?
Oh, Claypool.
Every single week, and we told you this, like, after week one, you can make a case for a lot of these rookies, like, after every single week in the NFL, different guy's going to step up. Claypool again yesterday, and Justin Jefferson for the Vikings. He led the league in receiving yards yesterday, hit 166.
Cowboys laying three. Listen, it's been ugly for Allen. I mean, this is, I don't know. I don't know. I had Washington a couple weeks ago, never in it against the Rams. That was pathetic.
I know it.
So that's,
I know
it. Yep. Detroit, Atlanta's laying. Look at that. Atlanta's favored now. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not
what's
sure about that.
What's that total?
It's 56 and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Detroit at Atlanta. There won't be stops in that game.
No, I did not have Atlanta pegged as a three-point favorite in this game either.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go anything besides pick, it would be maybe Atlanta 1.5 tops, in my opinion. But now they're laying that many points after doing what they did. Who cares? They beat Minnesota yesterday. Carolina playing at New Orleans. Saints opened up 7.5. They actually opened up 8. Pardon me. They're down to 7.5 as we speak. That total is 51.
I agree. They were thoroughly outplayed by the Chargers. And then Anthony Lynn got involved. So
yep.
I'll take rule on the points. They did. Bridgewater didn't play well. I give the Bears a lot of credit. But Bridgewater didn't play well. And again, here you go. How high does a number have to be before you say, I'm going to look at the Jets? So Buffalo, 10.5 on the road. I mean, 0-16's in play here.
Yeah, it's already up to 11.
Oh, God.
And I know Adam Chernoff said this over the weekend. He said, I would get down in the Bills right now, -9.5, because there's a chance here if the Jets look really bad against the Dolphins, this number's only going to go up.
Uh-huh.
And it certainly did. And I don't know, would you take the Jets plus 14.5?
They couldn't score against Miami?
Flacco took a 28-yard sack yesterday.
I don't want. How about this game? Don't you think you get an angry Rodgers? I mean, Rodgers, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great player. I just the picks. When does he throw a pick six?
That never.
When
happens.
Does he turn the ball over? They harassed him all game. Pressure in his face. Great job by Tampa, and now laying three, and you wonder where Houston's head's at now. It's all but over. They're 1-5.
Sure.
They can't stop anybody. They can't stop the run. Green Bay couldn't run the ball. That surprised me. I know Tampa's good against the run. But Green Bay laying three against Houston. I don't see how they slow down Rodgers.
No, I don't know how. I mean, Green Bay should be able to do whatever they want offensively. And I think I saw a tweet last night where Rodgers has thrown two INTs 5 times in his career in the same game. That's it.
I
think it hasn't happened since 27 or consecutive drives or whatever it was. What he did yesterday, like, rarely, if ever, has happened in his career. Pick six, and then next drive, another INT.
Don't you like Seattle? Off the bye.
I do, yep.
Arizona, short week.
Yep, I do. -3.
And they gave Murray problems last year. Yeah, they just find a way to win. The Seahawks are Andy Dufresne. It all goes their way. They all find a way, right? And here we go, as Al Michaels pointed this out last night. What a good game. The Patriots 4 at home against San Francisco. The Niners now 3-3 with the win. At New England, at Seattle, Green Bay at home, at New Orleans, at the Rams, Bills at home. That's what's coming up.
Good Lord.
For the 49ers.
I'm seeing this number already down to 3.5. Like Michael Lombardi said yesterday, Patriots need some practice. Cam Newton was awful in that game throwing the football. He was off by many, many feet or yards in a lot of those throws.
And Garoppolo was phenomenal, and so was Shanahan. Great job all around. Team win for the Niners. Had to have it. Looked great.
The Chiefs opened up. Let me see here. KC opened 8.5. I'm already seeing 9.5 at Denver.
Well, you can't kick field goals against the Mahomes. He'll take you out in a bucket.
But you know what? He will.
Well, I know he will. But
Fangio absolutely will.
Well, the other thing, it was very concerned. You got to be concerned how that ended, too. I mean, Locke, deer in the headlights. Where are you throwing the ball? Why are you throwing the ball?
Why is the play calling like that? Here you go. We've been conservative the entire game, hence the 6 field goals we've kicked so far.
But you're also running the ball on them.
I know, but now when it's late all of a sudden, we're going to start throwing the ball down the field and turn it over back-to-back drives? Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, well, this is, again, it's unfortunate for everybody what's going on in the world. Can you imagine if we had fans out here? What a game this is Sunday night. Tom Brady coming to town against the Raiders off the huge win against the Chiefs.
And I hate myself, Paul. This was a pick'em last week.
Yeah?
Hate myself.
Yeah.
I said on the air when we do the look headlines, I said, I don't know how Tampa and the Raiders is a pick 'em. Don't know. Have no
idea. The gift. We work with the legend. One of the GOAT, Brent Musburger. Hey, Godfather, can you get us a couple tickets? I mean, it would have been so perfect.
And this is actually a game that I would go to because it's a Sunday night game.
Of course, yeah.
So
Yeah, well, how about this game? Pittsburgh at Tennessee now, the makeup after the cancellation. Undefeated against undefeated. Ooh.
Now, Pittsburgh opened one, and they are already up to as high as 2.5 in this game.
I don't have an opinion. It's just a phenomenal game.
I see a total of 52.5.
I understand the smoke and mirrors stuff out with Tennessee. Lucky to beat Denver. Outplayed by Minnesota.
Well, okay. I'll say this, right? Their record is misleading. Like, they're not as good as, like, a normal 5-0 team would be because they're playing in so many close games. But they can still be dangerous and absolutely be a threat. Because who's slowing down this offense right now? I mean, the Steelers' defense, by the way, until yesterday, it's not exactly like they were gangbusters on the season. But maybe they're the first team to actually do it, this year. Well, Jacksonville playing in L.A. against the Chargers.
Huh.
Chargers opened up 8. They're 9.5 already in some spots.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. I have that backwards. They opened up 9.5. They're down to 8 already now in some spots. My bad.
What's that total?
49.
What? 49?
Yeah.
What do you think Herbert's going to do to them? Give them up 30 points, at least 5 in a row.
Yep.
The Monday night game is sexy.
It's huge.
I mean, because you got the two huge markets going at it. And the Bears they're a fun story. And they got the right quarterback in there. But you're right. He missed some plays out there. He missed some throws.
Oh,
just
no
like
doubt.
The Thursday game against Tampa. Foles in the offense will continue to improve. Nagy has to be more aggressive. I want to see up-tempo. The defense is nasty. Good road win. Tough schedule coming up. It starts Monday at the Rams. Saints at home, at Tennessee, at Green Bay. Vikings at home in there, too.
Yep.
0-2-3. Move the chains. You get to 7 wins. We'll see in the playoffs. Go Chicago.
Rams open up 6.5, and that's where the number's at right now.
That's too high.
I mean, if the... Yeah,
who have they played?
Yeah.
Come on. They swept the NFC. Chernoff's right. He was right with that Friday. You swept the NFC East.
Sure.
Whoop-de-damn-do.
Right.
When you played someone good, you came back and took the lead, but you were down 25 at Buffalo.
Yep.
And then they relaxed.
You know, if the Bears win this game, at that point, we're talking about 6-1? With that, okay, all right. It was a good win yesterday. To go to Carolina and play like that.
The NFL, you don't apologize for a win.
They made Bridgewater look that bad. I was very impressed by that. Defense playing well. Eddie Jackson after the game tweeted out, no targets again this week. Remember, he was a turnover machine a couple years ago. He was creating all those turnovers.
Oh.
Khalil Mack, obviously. But that's a good unit. Swallow the money. Here on VSiN up next, we're pretty much down to the final week before the Circa opening here in Las Vegas. Derek Stevens owns the property. He'll join us coming up next.